I am very happy to welcome Christina here today. It's the second time we're speaking, and it is such a joy to have you here. Welcome.
Yes. Thank you, Matt. I'm also really happy to do two interviews for the Yarndale online version. And it was really fun yesterday, and I'm sure it will be equally as fun this time. So
totally.
Let's get started.
We're going to just jump into it. Now, of course, a lot of you are joining the conversation today because you are equally as excited as I am about Christina's CAL, which is currently taking place. So this year's Shapiers Crochet Along. Christina,
yeah,
tell us about that. How has that been, finally unleashing your design to the world?
Yeah, it was kind of unreal for me to be able to release the project after such a long time, because as you might know, I've worked on it for like 3 years. And that's just from the first sketch to, it's not like I've worked 3 years in crochet, but, so it was so unreal that first moment, everyone from Shapiers was ready to hit publish and I was ready to hit publish. And it was just a very joyous moment, but it's still unreal for me. It doesn't feel real to me still.
Yeah. I bet it's kind of a surreal situation.
Yeah.
So you said you've been working on it for 3 years.
Yeah.
That blows my mind when you know, a pattern's released like this and everyone's like, oh, okay, it's something new. But for you, yeah, it's been a very long process.
Yeah. It's not really new for me anymore, no.
So yeah. How does the process for something like this go? Like, how did it start out?
Well, it started with the book.
Of course, based upon the book, yeah.
Yeah, All the Light We Cannot See by Anthony Doerr. And I read the book, and it's so imaginative, and also the prose is really rich and really descriptive. And I was so inspired by all the little stories and things in the book that I thought, well, I just cannot let this opportunity go. I really need to make something with it. I had such an urge to do that. So there's a museum in the book. It's the National Natural History Museum in Paris. And so I thought, well, why not go through the museum together in a pillowcase? Because that's was my first idea. It was just a pillowcase. So I was working on that. And it's about the same as the first part that's just released as square. But there are so many things in the museum and in the book that I thought, well, this just won't do. It's really too small. So I scrapped that idea and I turned it into the first version of the blanket. There were some issues with the corners because they are quite difficult to make, because the circle is so so big. It's quite a challenge. And so I wanted to make a second version to fix it. And one day, just by coincidence, Shapiers invited me just for a chat. And I took the blanket with me just to show them, like, well, look what I'm working on now. No idea behind it. And they were going like crazy. Oh, no, this is so beautiful. You don't want to release it on your own. We need to do a CAL with it. So they were really enthusiastic. And that was 2 years ago. So in the meantime, I made the version you see today. And of course, it takes quite a long time to write it down and to have it tested and to choose all the colorways. So it's been a long time coming from the idea to the design you see today.
Wow. Did you, when you started off, so you the book was your inspiration.
Mm-hmm.
Did you finish the book totally before you started, or were you like,
Yeah. Because there are also things in the blanket that are inspired by the book itself, not necessarily the museum. So I took different things from the book and put it into the blanket as well.
I love that. Love that. So the kind of, what was it about the book that got you so inspired?
I don't know. I think it's just the prose. It's so descriptive. And it's like when I read it, it's like I'm there. It's so imaginative, like the Hotel of Bees from the book. when he describes the bead carving, the woodwork, the frescoes on the ceilings, and the high shaped fountain in the courtyard. And it was like, okay, I'm here.
Amazing.
So the process is so amazing, and it just clicks with me because it also has a really strong connection to nature, and I also feel I have a really strong connection to nature, so it just speaks to me that way.
I love that. So sticking with the theme of what inspires you and your designing, mm-hmm. We'll come back of course to the cowl later on.
Yeah.
But, yesterday in our conversation, you shared something that it just blew my mind. Mm-hmm. You were sharing a project with us and you literally took the project through when you were talking about the steps of the inspiration. I wondered if you would do that again for us today. Have you got a couple of projects down there?
Yeah, sure.
At the moment? Because what's amazing yesterday is Christina shared, I'm trying to think which one, it was two of them, wasn't it?
This?
Exactly, yes. Yeah. So she shared this project, which is gorgeous, but as she talks about her inspiration, it adds another element to what you're seeing.
Yeah.
It isn't a shawl with some trees on it. It is mind-blowing. So, I mean, would you mind to talk through your kind of inspirational process of this? Because it's phenomenal.
This is my History of Trees shell. Because, as you know, we're doing the Cal and Read Along now for the Schepjes 2020 Cal. But I started the Cal and Read Along from 2 years ago with the History of Trees. And it's based on the book Barkskins.
Yeah.
By Annie Proulx, and it's a story about trees, really, the diminishing of the North American forests from when the settlers first arrived in North America up to now, and what effect that had on how we treat our forests and how they look now. So when I thought about that concept, I wanted to make a shell in three sections. So this is when the settlers first arrived. So it's really thick and dense, and it's like you cannot even get through the forest, because that's really how forests were back then. It was like really thick undergrowth and moss and fern, so you almost couldn't get through. So they also burned a lot of undergrowth and trees to manage to get through and start farming. So that's this part of the story where you see the trees already diminishing. And then in the end, there's almost none left. So it's not a happy story, but it really was a story I wanted to tell.
I just think that is phenomenal how when you explain it like that, it just makes so much sense.
Yeah.
it's just beautiful to see that. I'm sure I'm not the only one that didn't realize the story behind it.
Yeah, well, I just like to tell a story when I make a design, so it's more than just a shawl.
I love that. What was it about that book that kind of inspired you?
This book is also really rich, not per se in prose, but in backstory, because you follow quite a few characters all the way from, was it like 1600? I'm not sure, because it's quite a long time since I've read it.
Sure.
But from that era up to 2013, I believe. And so we follow generations of people and how they connect to the forest or don't. And so I just thought, well, that's a really powerful story, because I don't think we are that much in touch with nature anymore nowadays. So I think it's nice to bring back a little nature to the people.
Fantastic. And you had another beautiful story. I'd love for you to share that one as well.
History of Bees, I think.
Exactly, History of Bees. Yeah. Exactly. Sorry for not knowing the name there.
It was the Cal of last year. So also Cal Read Along. And it's the History of Bees.
Look,
which is this one. It's quite hard for me to.
On those, the links are in the chat.
Yeah. So this shell is inspired by the History of Bees by Maya Lunde, and it's also a book with three different stories connecting to each other. And I don't want to give away anything, because when you want to read it, I'm not want to spoil anything. But it follows three people in three different eras, connecting to bees in any way. So you have the story of the people in the future when there are no longer bees. They need to hand pollinate every blossom, because otherwise there won't be almonds and fruit. So that's the first section of the shawl. It's the stems of the trees and the blossom. So that's the first section. And then we follow a beekeeper in the present day, who has trouble with keeping his bees because of all the pesticides being used. So you can see here in the shawl, I've used the bees.
Wow. Yeah.
Very tiny. And there's also we follow a man in the past who invented one of the first beehive boxes. So that's also very interesting. And I made for that story a band of figure eight color work. Because when bees try to tell each other where the nectar is, they circle in figure eight. So they like to tell each other which way you want to go.
Wow.
With the figure eight a dance. And of course, the honeycomb hexagon pattern. So,
I mean, again, that is just phenomenal. What a gorgeous kind of story on the book, but then being replicated through the design work.
Amazing. Yeah, I really like to just capture that story. It's sometimes hard, because I know when people see a design, they see the design and the story behind it. So it's sometimes difficult for me to try to get people to read further, but that's also why I'm doing the Cal and read along, so people can just read the book and get the story from the book.
I mean, what a great idea as well. It really is. So your whole kind of, you're at a place where you're designing and you're releasing your patterns to the world, but where did it all begin? How did you start crocheting?
Well, I started when I was in 2010. I started crocheting because my sister-in-law, she crocheted, made all these colorful things, and they made me really happy. And so I thought, well, I just want to do that too. So I bought a book, because YouTube wasn't that big at the time. And I just started with a t-shirt yarn, 10 millimeter hook, and made a bag shape thing, which I gave to my baby sister, and she was just over the moon with it. So, but that's where it started. And when I started to really get into crochet, I had ideas in my head that I couldn't find patterns for, so that's really the becoming a designer really came natural to me, because I just couldn't find what I wanted to make.
So you could just kind of went for it. You saw kind of a hole in the market and was like, do you know what, I can do that.
Yeah, sure. So I started with blogging, and then publishing my designs.
Yeah.
And first for free, and then my first paid pattern was the Hotel of Bees, and it just really took off from there.
That's amazing. Did you when you started out crocheting and then later blogging, did you have, was that your idea?
No.
Was that your plan to kind of do what you're doing?
No, really not. No, it just went so naturally, and really I cannot even try to imagine what I was doing before I crocheted. I just don't know. I don't know how I feel my days. But I just cannot imagine doing anything else anymore.
Yeah, I mean, I can't imagine you doing anything else as well. Brilliant. The kind of response that you got for your first pattern, do you remember that? Do you remember the first pattern you published?
The Hotel of Bees?
No, like your very, very first one. Do you remember what that was?
I think it was a combination between, I don't know where it is, but I made little pouches with just a sewed on box bottom and sewed in lining. And because when I started with my blog, my handle was crochet, knit, sew. So I tried to combine crochet and sewing.
I see.
And I also enjoyed making bags. So that was my very first project. I didn't get a lot of response because I was just starting, and I think you know what that, how that's like.
Oh yeah.
I mean, you just put something out there and it's like crickets and tumbleweeds. So it really has grown over the years. It's not like instant fame or something. It still isn't fame, but.
So I'm going to ask, this is quite a personal thing, because I really mm-hmm. relate to that. When I started my blog years ago, it was going to be a general blog, and it wasn't yeah. like I put something about crochet. I got my first ever comment, and I was like, oh, maybe this is the thing, because I like the attention. Yeah. Was that the same kind of thing for you in terms of, because you said it was going to be like a crochet sewing. Yeah. Are you still kind of incorporating the sewing into your blog, or is that totally
No, I just, in the end, I thought what I enjoy most is crochet.
Yeah.
So I just scrapped everything else and I'm just crocheting. And all the other things I'm just doing for me, so just to enjoy, because I quilt and I spin and I do whatever. But that's all for me. And crochet I really do to just be creative and get my ideas onto paper.
I love that. And so when you're creating, I see, you know, we mentioned this yesterday, you're in your craft room, is that
yeah.
what I see?
Yeah.
Do you tend to it was funny, we were talking on the previous chat about having crafting spaces, and we all like crafting spaces,
but yeah.
quite a lot of us end up on the sofa regardless. Yeah. <we've got laughs> yeah. Where do you like to do you stay in your craft room? Do you head to the sofa and watch Netflix?
It's such a romantic image to think you're in a lounge chair crocheting and your crafting room with all your wool at your side.
Yeah.
But it really is not, because usually I just put on Netflix and sit on a couch and it's a work away or whatever I'm working on.
We all relate to that. Yeah.
But I do have a generous craft room and storage space and a desk to work from home and also so
fantastic. I bet that's been very useful during the
yeah. kind
of lockdown period.
Yeah,
as well, having
absolutely.
A place to do that. Lovely. We've just got a question popped up, and I'm mindful just to not skip over questions. Lorraine is asking, can we see more of the cardigan you're wearing?
Oh, I need to spin around.
That's a twirl.
Do a twirl. This is the maple leaf cardigan, and it's I cannot get it to onto.
No, that's good. We can see. That's brilliant.
So it's the maple leaf cardigan.
Wow.
Yeah.
Such a gorgeous color.
I've been wearing it a lot. So
I think you. I think I saw that in person last year. When we met.
Yeah,
that's so nice.
It's really nice cardigan. It's really soft. It's the merino soft yarn, so it's smooth but warm at the same time.
So nice. I've just popped a link for everyone there.
Yeah.
That's the blog post with that on, so you can head over to Christina's.
And it's a free pattern as well. So
look at that.
Yeah,
free stuff. What is your your process in terms of creating stuff? Do you tend to start off by doing a little sketch or something, Christina, or do you just pick up yarn and go for it?
Usually, I'm doing nothing, or reading, or taking a hike in the forest, or you know, or sitting in a car looking at the sky. I'm really a daydream kind of person. But I'm also quite a practical person, and I like to, whenever I, there's just a spark somewhere, I just cannot explain, it's just there all of a sudden. And I tend to just write down all of the ideas I have, or just the name of the pattern or anything. And then whenever I have time, because I work 4 days a week, so I have limited time, I just go down the list and I think, well, that's what I'm going to make next. I usually have the idea in my head, but like you say, also make a sketch, because I like to, yeah, put on paper what I'm going to do. Mm. I make a swatch with the yarn I'm going to use, because there's always math involved, as you know. And I just, when it's a shawl, I just write down measurements that I want it to be, the stitches I want to use. I calculate the repeat patterns and where I want to start. And usually I write the pattern and then I make the shawl.
Mm.
And then I see, oh, this won't work. So I rip back and then I write it again. So it's like, it's almost a simultaneous process between designing and pattern writing for me.
Okay.
I also hear sometimes designers that make things and then later write everything down. But I did that once. And yeah, I cannot almost just not see anymore what I did. So
yeah.
It's easier for me to do it that way.
Yeah, sure. It's very interesting for me to hear how people go about their design process. Chatting with a few people over the weekend, some people mm-hmm. like to draw what they're going to make. Some people, as you do, kind of create the dimensions and the repeat and then see if it works.
Yeah.
It's very interesting to me. Once you've got like a design,
mm-hmm.
what's then the process between coming up with the design and then releasing it to the world? So for example, let's go with your current crochet along, because it's a long process, and of course it reaches a wide audience, so it has to all, of course, be very correct, be tested.
Yeah.
How does that go about?
Yeah. I made the final version of the blanket. So normally I just write everything down and then it gets tested and then corrected and then finalized. But because we were still on quite a deadline, even mm-hmm. with such a long run-up time, I needed to make a section of the blanket, then get it tested. Almost simultaneously. So when I get it to testing, I can move on with the next part of the blanket. You see, so it would go after each other until it was finished. Yeah, because otherwise we wouldn't have enough time, because it's quite, it takes quite a lot of time to make the blanket, let alone test it. So to save some time, we did it that way. And of course, whenever it's finished, it goes to tech editing. So a tech editor looks it all over with a fine tooth comb, getting all the tiny errors, the commas and the dots to work out.
Mm.
And so it's quite a process, of course. And for me, it's also, I make tutorial photos, so that comes in between. I make the blog posts, of course.
Mm.
To go with the tutorial photo. So, yeah.
Gosh, I mean, so what a process. So this crochet along, you've got four colorways.
Yeah.
Right. And so how many of those did you have to make, each of those blankets?
No. Luckily,
<Thank God>.
Luckily, I did the herbarium stonewashed blanket,
mm.
and the testers did the other seven. So they tested in the one of the colorways it was going to be. So they also made the samples, and the samples were then shipped to Scheepjes, and then they did the gorgeous photography in the bookstore. You know,
oh, it's
so funny. Yeah. Unfortunately, I wasn't there myself, but I really would have liked to be there.
I bet you would have.
Yeah. They luckily made the samples.
Amazing. Yeah. So when for example, you made one of them and you were picking out the colors, was there a bit of risk in terms of knowing if the color palettes were going to work for the other ones? Because of course,
it was really difficult. I tried to, because a stonewashed only has a limited amount of colors. In my head, it's 42 or 48. So we also took the Riffle Wash. It's the same yarn with a different color core, and try to work. I try to envision dark and light. If you don't know if a color is working, you can take a black and white photo of the colors and see if the grades of the colors are working together. So I try to get at least the grades to work the same. But it's still, yeah, it's a risk because I'm only making the herbarium version, so I just don't know how how it will work in the end. But I'm really pleased with how it all worked out. And
I mean, they're all just phenomenal. Yeah. So you've got just so everyone knows, without this turning into like a sales pitch, you've got four colorways.
Yeah.
And it, am I right in saying two are color crafter and two are the Stonewash River Wash?
No, all colorways are in Stonewash River Wash, and all colorways are in color crafter.
Boom! Look at that.
Yeah.
Fantastic.
Yeah. So they can choose because we also wanted an option that is budget friendly.
Yeah.
And color crafter is just a wonderful blanket yarn, but it's cheaper than Stonewash and River Wash.
Yeah.
And River Wash and Stonewash in itself is just a gorgeous yarn with a wonderful hue. And such great stitch definition and stitch depth. So I just love that yarn.
Yeah. Oh, it's gorgeous, isn't it?
Yeah.
How are you feeling then right now? So the projects, the cowl's been released. Part one is released.
Yeah.
Are you in like the frenzy of it all, or is it quite calm for you? Do you have to answer lots of questions and stuff? What is that process?
I feel it's quite calm because, like I said, I'm a very organized person. And so everything I could do beforehand, I did beforehand. All the blog posts are ready with the tutorial photos, so I don't have to make them anymore. So I can just now focus on the cowl and answering questions, helping people, encouraging people, because it can be quite a challenging pattern to make. So
yeah. We've got a question just popped up by from Helen, and I'm already going to stumble over this one word.
So etymology. Helen,
yeah, exactly. I was like, how do I say that? was that so that's a very similar palette to the book cover. Is that where the influence came from? Did that influence the color of the blanket? Great question.
No, actually not, because as you can see, I know which book cover you mean, Helen, but I had this book cover, so it's quite different.
Mm-hmm.
I think Helen means the blue book cover. It's like blue and black, or blue and dark blue. And what I did for the colorways was just make a Microsoft Paint file, and I just put pictures in of insects. So the gorgeous, you know, the butterflies with the bright blue and the black edges, and the iridescent bugs and beetles, and I just loved that, and I was like, okay, that was really what inspired the entomology colorway. And it's like that with every colorway. I just took source inspiration for the colorways.
I love that. I love hearing you talk about your inspiration. A lot of the chats we've had over the weekend are very much inspired by like just random quick images.
Yeah.
And your process is just different, right? But it seems so much more considered into a deeper kind of delve into a world. I find it really interesting. I'm mindful of time, and I certainly want to get questions in. So if anyone has any questions, now is your time to pop your questions up. I've had a few questions that have been sent to me on the main feed, but also privately. So I'm going to go through those as well. Let's have a look. So this one here. So Carol has said the Shapier's cowl is gorgeous.
Yeah.
It does.
I agree. Quite...
Yeah. Yeah, I agree. I designed it.
Well, I wouldn't make something if I didn't like it. So. Not being arrogant, just
confident. You should be. It's amazing. It does look quite complicated. Are there lots of different techniques in the blanket?
Yeah, if you look at the tips and tricks file, it contains all the used stitches and techniques. So you can check that out if you want to see, well, what's used in the blanket. I'm not going to say it's not a challenge because it is a challenging blanket. But it's for a reason. We said it's also for the adventurous beginner because I've made sure the written pattern is really clear. So the testers followed it without any pictures. And they were able to follow it just by the written pattern. Because if you really follow it step by step, you are able to follow it. There's tutorial photos for the tricky bits. And then, of course, there's Esther's great videos. Because, I mean, a lot of you are working from the videos. And they are just great because they take you through step by step. So even if you can't read a pattern or if you're a beginner, you are still able to follow through the video. And of course, there's the wonderful Facebook groups for that extra support. So I think
Yeah,
absolutely.
Brilliant. I hope that answers your question there, Carol. So I say give it a go. Give it a whirl. Let's have a look because actually we've got loads of questions now. Loads.
Oh.
You always have such fabulous photographs on your website.
Yeah.
Do you do all the photography yourself?
Yeah, I bought a really good camera, or just a DSLR,
yeah.
the digital camera with the lens.
Mm.
And it takes great photos in itself, but I also looked up online what's the best way to take photos outside, because I usually take photos outside and what to do with lighting and usually I'm not a really good photographer, but I know where the sun is and where my model should stand. And that's just really helpful to get good pictures.
Brilliant. Yeah. They're gorgeous, gorgeous pictures. Sorry, this is me trying to multitask. Like terrible. Give me a second. Rosanna asks, she says she's very new to crochet. Which of your patterns is best for a beginner? I'd love to make the new cowl, but it looks hard.
I really need to think because I really I like to mix up stitches. So most of my patterns contain one or two things that might be a bit challenging.
Mm.
I think the Forest Valley shell. That's also in the Cal Kits as a yarn after party booklet. It's a great pattern to start with because the stitches are fairly easy. And it's also quite a fast pattern because you start, it's a triangular shawl. And you start at the wide edge and then you decrease. So every row gets faster and faster. So it's quite a nice pattern to start.
Okay, what was the name of that one? Sorry?
The Forest Valley shawl.
Okay.
It's a yarn after party.
I will try and find that for you in a moment. Good. Again, can't multitask. Carol says you should be very proud. You should indeed. Melody says, what have you been reading lately? Anything that's going to inspire future design?
Hi, Melody. Melody is one of the testers that... tested the cowl blanket, and she Brilliant. Also tests other patterns for me. So I'm very grateful for her that she helped me out. What was the question again? What I'm reading?
And is it going to inspire something?
I've read so much lately. I just can't. I'm currently reading On Earth We're Briefly Gorgeous.
Okay.
But it's written by a poet, and it's quite heavy.
Does that mean some heavyweight yarn? That was lame.
Yeah, maybe just a gray or a black square and heavyweight yarn would describe that book. You know what, Melody, I'll get back to you with what I'm reading now.
Really?
Because I read so many books lately, it's just crazy.
I've just for everyone, I've just popped the question previous, what would be a nice starting pattern. I've just popped a link to that pattern. So everyone's got that. Let's have a look. Is one of her books Rosanna says, it's wonderful mm-hmm. how books have inspired you. Do you know if the authors know that the blankets have inspired you? Or inspired
well, you? If you know, I did an interview with the author, so amazing. He knows. And he was just in awe that that we made a call with it, and he just loved the look of the blanket, and it was awesome talking to him.
Was that you quite any kind of fangirl moment in terms of
yeah
yeah
it was he lives in North America, and for him it was 9 a.m. and for me it was 5 p.m. and it was like the whole day I was just shaking with nerves and I was so anxious, but it was a wonderful interview. And it will be released every Sunday. So if you go to the Facebook groups, you can find parts of the interview already.
Amazing. I mean, what a great experience.
Yeah, it was. Yeah.
That actually brings us on. Sally's asked a question actually about the book club. She asks, are you enjoying the book club alongside the Cal? She also says, I'm loving the book and feel the book is enhancing my experience of the beautiful pattern. Thank you.
Oh. Well, that's lovely to hear, because that's really truly the main goal of the book club, is to get people together reading, and also another layer onto the Cal experience. And I really enjoy reading all the quotes people put in, because the book club was started today at 12 my time. That's CEST, and I just enjoy everyone's reading experience, because it's with books, everyone has a different experience. That's what I like about books, because I can see something very differently than another person sees it. So I just love the book discussions, and I hope people will continue to participate in the discussions.
I love that, actually. That's something I didn't think about. Of course, you've got your own interpretation of
yeah.
what something means, and you've put it into the blanket, but for someone else that could be totally different.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. Wow, I love that. Helen asks, is crochet a big thing in the Netherlands? There seems to be a lot of Dutch crocheters.
Well, personally, I don't know any crocheters outside of the Scheepjesbloggers. So I would say not from my experience. But I live in a small town up north in the Netherlands. So maybe if you go to a big city, it would be different. I don't know.
How have you, on that note, how have you found it kind of being in the Shapiers bloggers group, but then there's a real community around it, mm-hmm. you know, having the Facebook groups and doing things like Cal's and read-alongs. How have you found creating or being part of a community? As you said, you're from a small mm-hmm. place, and then yeah. suddenly reaching thousands of people.
Yeah, it's really nice to connect with like-minded people, because I don't have any crocheters near me, and once a year, usually, not this year unfortunately, but usually we have our blogger days, so we get to meet up and really talk face to face. So it just brings so much energy and so much creativity to see what everyone's working on, and it's just lovely. And we have our own private Facebook group, so we get to hang out there and ask questions about designing, or also technical questions, because we all have a blog and they need maintaining, and we have technical issues sometimes. So
it's really nice to have support one another.
Yeah, really. Yeah.
I love that. I'm just popping here. Everyone, that is the Facebook, the Shapiers Cal International Group. So that's a great place to start if you're doing
yeah,
that.
Yeah, really.
To join that, and you'll find info on the other groups through that. Christina, it has been such a joy chatting with you again today.
Yeah.
I've loved everyone. Really, hopefully next year we get to do this in person.
Yeah.
And I can't wait to ask you next year how the whole experience has been, being at the other.
That's just been week one, right? So
exactly.
I'm all fruity now, but I don't know how it will look after 10 exactly. more weeks.
A few weeks later.
Yeah.
<Ooh. laughs> So funny.
No, I don't know.
Christina, as I said, it's been an absolute thrill chatting with you this weekend. I'm so happy the Crochet Along is being the massive success that it is.
Yeah, I'm glad. Proud. Yeah. Thank you.
It's been a pleasure. Thank you, everyone else, for joining us.
Yeah, thank you.
We do this in person next year.
Yeah, I hope so.
Keep safe, everyone. Keep well. Keep crocheting and creating. And I'll see you all soon. Take care, Christina.
Bye.
Bye.